Betrayal. Everyone always had their own opinions of the master. Some thought that when he drove the money changers out of the temple, the master was finally heading in the right direction. Some thought that he shouldn't have been going after fellow Israelites at all, but that he should have concentrated instead on the Romans, who were the real enemy. And there were some of us who thought that all of this was just another example of the master doing what the master always did, helping us to find the truth and to see the beauty in it all. I can't tell you for sure which of these camps Yudah belonged to. Maybe he was in the bit of all three. All of us get confused and feel lost at times, but I couldn't help feeling that Yudah ultimately thought he knew best. What I do know for certain is that today, when the master and the rest of us were sitting on the Mount of Olives just near Gad Sman, Yudah wasn't there. He was walking back towards the city, keeping in the shadows, ducking down alleyways, and staying out of sight. He knew exactly where he was going, towards the temple, to talk to the priests. He had a plan. The priests weren't in the outer courts, so he had to go to some of the temple soldiers who were on guard. "I need to see the high priest," Yudah said quietly. The guards were suspicious. They'd seen him there the previous 2 days with the master and suspected he was trouble. He was, but not for them. Yudah insisted. It would be in their interest. "Trust him," he told them. And eventually they relented. The guards cautiously escorted Yudah in for a meeting with the representatives of the high priest himself. They recognized him instantly and called the priest to join them. And unlike the guards on the gate, the priests understood that if Yudah wanted to meet them like this, then he wasn't fully loyal to Yeshua. Whether Yudah could be trusted or not, time would tell, but he could be used. And the priests and their representatives knew it. They offered him a seat, brought out wine and figs. "I can help you," said Yudah nervously. "Who says we need it?" "Anyone who's been in the temple these last 2 days has heard what Yeshua has been saying, calling you vipers and hypocrites. By now, everyone in the city thinks that you can't control him." Yudah let the words sink in, and then he continued. "How long before the crowd turns against you? How long then before the Romans deem that you're no use to them?" That was the clincher. The gathering said nothing. Yudah leaned forward and lowered his voice. "I can help you. I can help you. Don't you see it?" He paused. "I can hand him over to you." "And what would we do with them?" they replied nonchalantly. Yudah knew the game they were playing. He could play it too. "That's then up to you," he responded. He was looking around wearily. The priests talked quietly among themselves. They knew this was their chance. "And how much would you want for your service?" they asked, almost as if the answer was academic. Yudah had a number. In fact, he'd been thinking about it all week. 15 pieces of silver was a lot of money, at least 2 months' wages. It was more than fair. But now he was here, sitting in the opulent room, facing these bloated high priests with their ceremonial robes and expensive jewels, drinking fine wine from Roman cups. He changed his mind. He went bigger. Whether or not Yudah ever wanted any genuine harm to come to Yeshua, I will never know. Maybe Yudah was simply frightened, for himself, for where all Yeshua's actions were leading. Maybe he believed that the message, the mission, was more important than just one man. Maybe he felt Yeshua's sense of self, of his own importance, was blinding everyone to the reality of this precarious situation. Maybe Yudah simply feared for his own future. People tell themselves what they want to hear, but there, in that courtyard, he sold his friend for 30 pieces of silver.